the more people that you deal with across the country, how many knows the more blessings you have? But how many knows the other side of it, the more problems you have? And the minister is at kind of a stalemate in some of these things because, see, we don't tell people our problems. We don't tell other people who we've got a problem with. We don't tell all these things. But the person that is the problem tells everybody everything, their version, their side of it, and everything. But it's a blessing. I said all this to say this, how I was blessed, especially Friday night, but last night also, mightily, actually more last night in one way and more the Friday night the other way. I looked back there and I saw a man, you remember who he was, Ed Lubring. He was a Catholic. He was a real young man at that time, and he got saved and he had no place to go to church. He didn't know where to go to church, but he wound up in one of our Bible Way churches up around Eldon, Missouri. And his family come against him vibrantly. I mean, you ain't going to the Pentecost church. We're Catholic. We're Catholic. We're Catholic. And he wasn't called to preach then, but he made a vow. He said, I'm going to win every one of my people, Catholics, and all of them, I'm going to win all of them to God. Well, he set in. And he had some awful trials, and I got to tutor him through some of them, you know, and I know a whole lot about them. But just trial after trial after trial. And finally, and even his wife wasn't with it, you know. And so finally, he began to make headway, and one of them got saved. And then another one got saved. And another one got saved. And his wife got saved. Things really began to happen, you know. And then he got called to preach. And he started out with a little old church just out of Tuscumbia there. Built a little building there and had church, and all these people was getting saved around there, and his family and everything. So what really happened then, he began to get a pretty large congregation because he was really dedicated to it. He had all kinds of problems. Amen. Like all ministers have, you don't know anything if you have never pastored a church. Every Christian ought to pastor a church and be in leadership of some kind for a while. You don't know what problems are. And we have to handle them and still stay spiritual. So he learned that. He caught on to that. And he began to just really preach the gospel, and they were getting saved. And so he decided he's going to build a church. And he wasn't going to build a little church. He was going to build a good-sized church. And he was going to pay for it as he went. And he came to us and he said, I found a piece of ground, 16 acres of ground. And he said, I could build that church there, but I don't have no backing. I don't know what to do with it. And so I told him, and me and Brother Abrams went and visited with him. We said, well, we'll back you. We don't have the money, but our credit's good. We got good credit. So it was an expensive piece of ground, and he bought that piece of ground, and everybody began to wonder, well, is he going to build that? And surely he can't pay for it as he goes. Well, that was been about 5 years ago. Well, you know, he'd come through these years, and he'd grown older, and he began to have a lot of good godly wisdom and everything about him. And so he set in, and these people were getting saved. So he started building the church. Started with just a little old rinky-dinky trailer. And then they had it into it wasn't very pleasant. They made it into evangelist quarters, and me and Sister Buckner had the honor of staying in that. It was cold, and the water didn't work right. The electric would go out, and shorts here and shorts there and something else. It was a wonderful week in the Lord in the church, but it was horrible in where we had to stay. How many knows? So I've slept in attics. I've slept in basements. I've slept in all kinds of places. But still, yet, see, that's the blessing of it. God will bless us if we'll just do this. So he went on, and he started building the church. About 4 years ago, started the building. Last fall, I got to go up and dedicate that church. He built a $200,000 church, and every bit of it was paid for. And I looked back there at him, and I just couldn't help but weep, you know, a little bit, because I knew the story. Well, the last one that got saved when he built the church was the big fella that was here. How many remembers him? great big fella, tall and big. I mean, he was a big man, and he was a Catholic, and it finally got a hold of him, and he got to listening to some tapes that I had, and he got under conviction, and he told Brother Lubring, he said, the next time Brother Buckner's up here, I want you to tell me. He said, I want to come and hear him preach. So that night before the service, he said, I want to talk to you before church. He took me in the back room of the church, one of the back rooms, and he said, I want to talk to you about getting saved. He said, I don't even know how to get saved. Don't even really know what it is. He said, I've been a Catholic all of my life, but he said, I'm not really a good Catholic. That was a good door to open. So I began to talk to him and had a good talk before church. When I gave the altar call, that man got up and came to the altar and got gloriously saved. And he's got in behind that church. He's a businessman, and he's got in behind that church, and he's got in there and really doing something for God. You know, we can count our blessings. Every one of us need to count our blessings instead of count our troubles. And I was looking at him, and I got such a blessing. Then I looked up the two seats above there, right in the corner, on that side of the church, two seats above there, and I looked at that boy that was about 6'7". I remember he come to camp time, he was that tall. He wasn't 6'7" then. He was about 7 years old, and he was a mean one. And he came, and every year he got prayed through, but every year he come back backslid. Finally, now that would have aggravated other people to death. I've had them come down to campground to see how much they could tear up. And you have to still yet work with them. But anyhow, this boy, he came about 3 years ago, and he got a hold of the main line. It changed him completely, and now he's preaching the gospel. And I had to look at him, and I had to weep as I looked at him and thought that he came from a broken home. His mother and dad were separated and divorced. And that was part of his problem. And now he's bringing his brother, his littler brother was with him there, bringing him to church. You know, it's a blessing to look back and see what God has done. We look back and we see what the devil has done. But I'm telling you what, I want to point us this morning to what God has done. God has done wonders. He has saved you. He's baptized some of you with the Holy Ghost. He has empowered you with His power, with His Spirit, not our spirit, but His Spirit. This is what I want to get in the message. And then I looked on the pew just above them there, and I seen a man that used to come here, Brother Panky, and he come right out of the drugs and out of all those kind of things, and they had a child out of wedlock and all these kind of things. What a mess it was. But you see, God got a hold of him, and those kids came in. They didn't know what to do. Most of them just climbing the wall. See, how many have seen how nice Cody acts now? Calm. You know, he took some instructions. I said, now you get your wife, and you sit down at the table, and you figure how a godly way to run that home. He said, I feel like called to preach. I said, ain't no use in you even think about calling to preach till you get your house in order. Can't do it. Oh, he flared up a little bit. And he said, well, okay. You know, people don't like to be reproved. They don't like to be instructed in things. They think they know, you know. Well, he started doing that. And so now them kids march right in. They sit right down and they behave themselves. And he's preaching the gospel and he's winning souls. How many knows that's a blessing? But, oh, what a problem. The church, what a problem. The kids are rowdy. Well, we put up with it. God will bless us for it. And the more people that you deal with, the more problems you have. And somebody said, I want to have a lot of friends. The more friends you have, the more problems you have. Because they'll tell you their problems and you don't need to hear them. The more friends you have, you'll have. See, we need to be a friend of God. Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him, and he became the friend of God. We need to be a friend of God. When we're a friend of God, God reveals himself to us every time how he wants us, what he wants us to do. He reveals us the spiritual things, and that's what we need. We don't need revelation of what people's doing. We need revelation of what God is doing. And we need revelation of what for us to do. We need godly things in our life, not carnal things, godly things. But let's go to Philippians chapter 3, verse 9. And be found in him, not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, but which is through the faith of Christ, and the righteousness which is of God by faith, that ye may know him. Now here's what I want you to get. I want this scripture to stick in your heart. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Here, get this. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling in Christ. Now, I want to go back to this thing, Christ in you, in Colossians, the hope of glory. And then I want to go to the power of his resurrection. Now, you see, the thing of it is, and the Christ that we serve has came to earth in the form of a man, the Son of God. And he walked this earth and was crucified. He also was put in a tomb, and he arose. How many know he arose? Now, all was before when they was under the law, they didn't have all this on their side. They went by the law. But I want you to look here what they now. Paul said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. So let's look at it this way. I want you to look at it in the way that I'm talking about this morning. The power of his resurrection, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Now, if you get saved, you're cleansed by the blood. But now, wait a minute here. If when it becomes Christ in you, the hope of glory, what is that? Did you know who you have on the inside of you? A Christ that came from heaven, descended, ministered 3.5 years, died upon a cross. They put him in a tomb. The tomb couldn't hold him. He came out of the tomb. He spoke to his disciples for 40 days. He ascended on high. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father. That means he has power. So who have you got in you? Have you got a Christ that has no life? No. You've got a resurrected Christ in you. What did he say? That I may know him in what? Somebody's quoted for me. That I may know him and the power of what? Of his resurrection. How are you going to know him and the power of his resurrection unless you have it in there? That's when knowledge comes, when it's in you. And he's been stuffing himself with the Word of God. That's in there. And it'll get more and more in there, and it'll be more. After a while, it controls Andy to the place where he is godly, because he has a resurrected Christ on the inside of us. He's not a dead Christ. How many knows he's not in the tomb? He's not the places people are looking for him, but he's not in the tomb. Where did he go? He arose and he ascended on high. He sat down at the right hand of who? Now that's where he's at right now. So we have the spirit of his resurrection in us. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. The more of him that we get on the inside of us, the more we know about the resurrection. That I may know him. And the power of his resurrection. That I may know him. Let's read that again. Verse 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now, how many knows what that means? We're going to suffer. The Bible teaches us in several places that if we're going to rule with him, we're going to suffer with him. We're going to suffer. People's going to see you suffer. How many knows the thief cometh not but for what? John 10:10. But to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus said, I'm come that you might have life and that you have it more abundant. How many believes it's life? And like it says in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Well, the hope of glory. What kind of hope is that? We have that hope because we our eyes are opened when he comes in and we can see spiritual things instead of just all carnal. Spiritual things. We can see spiritual things. Our eyes are open. So we get to where we can see. So turn our Bibles here just a minute to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17 and verse 18. The hope of glory. How many knows we can see glory? If you've got enough of this in you, and you keep all the carnal stuff junk out. Many people can't see God because they got all the carnality in the way. It's kind of like looking through a shade over there. You can't look through that shade and see the outside till you remove the shade. You can't look through and see the spiritual things till you remove the carnality. To be carnally minded is death, Romans 8 and 6, but to be spiritually minded is life and it is peace. So what does it say here that can happen to us? We're seeing now. Once we get the Holy Ghost, our eyes are open more than ever. We begin to see and notice everything, good and bad. And we choose good instead of evil. And we have to make those choices, as I spoke of last night. Now it says there in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 17, the Lord is that Spirit. So He's the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Now, isn't that wonderful that we have liberty? All of us have Christ in us, so we have liberty. You can take your liberty. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Then the next verse said, we all with open face. Now, what are we going to see? We got everything over. There's everything's out of our eyesight, our spiritual sight. Everything's been removed. You can't see through carnality. It blocks your vision. Multitudes and multitudes in the valley of decision, and the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. So here we find that we all with open face, our spiritual face is not covered so that we can see what's there for us. We all with open face, how many's reading it with me? We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, just like looking in a looking glass. When you get up to shave of a morning or wash your face, you're looking in the glass and you can see clearly. We all with open face, beholding as in a glass, as in a glass. What are we looking at? Let's all say the glory. You know what it is? Christ in you, the hope of glory. You can't operate carnally all week and enjoy the blessings of the Lord on Sunday morning. We have to operate spiritually. We have to hear from God. We hear everything from everybody all week around the house. You know, it's this and it's that and it's something else. It's what's on the TV and what's on the computer and what's on this and what's on that. And all this kind of stuff, it blinds us from seeing the glory of the Lord. And therefore, we cannot do what it says there. We all with open face beholding as in the glass. What is it? We're changed. What are we changed like? We're all changed into what? Let's say the same image. In other words, we're going to be like Him. You know why we're going to be like Him? Because He's on the inside of us. And kind of like a moving picture show, you can watch it, you can watch it, you can watch it. And when we begin to operate in the Spirit, we can see spiritual things like we never saw before. Church, I'm trying to get it. I'm wanting to see people get in all the churches that I preach in. I'm trying to get them to see one thing, that carnality will blind you, but spirituality will open them eyes where you can see the glory. And then you could change into what? What you're looking at. See, if we didn't have Him in there, we couldn't look through His eyes. How many knows we have His life, not our life? In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. See, in Him was life, and that life is in us. You know whose life it is? How many knows whose life's in us that makes us live? Now the thief, he cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So that brings death. The thief, he brings death. But the Lord brings life. And He laid His life on the line. He came for a purpose. And He prayed in the garden. He had flesh like you and I. And He said, Father, if it be Thy will, let this cup pass from me. But He said, nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. I'll go through it for you. He's praying to God. He knew what His orders was when He left heaven. His orders was that he would be crucified. He's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. He's not just the lamb that was slain there in 2000 or something like that. He was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God knew what he was going to do before the son was ever born. And when the time came, he sent the angel to Mary, and the seed was planted, the word of God in her, and she bore a child. And who is he? He is the word of God. He's the fitting image of his father. Hebrews 1 said, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. He looks like it. He acts like the Father. He does what the Father says. Now, let's put me and you on the spot. Now, if we've got Christ in us, the hope of glory, and we're really true Christians, and we really know God, and we're really changing into the same image from glory to glory, how are we supposed to act? How are we supposed to look? How are we supposed to think? Since it's his life, and it's him done it all, and he came in to change us, I think then it's our responsibility to act like him, talk like him, think like him, be like him, look into the same image, look into the glory and see the image, and change into the same image from glory to glory. See, God doesn't expect us to do this overnight. Maybe some of you have been working on it for years. Well, if you've made progress, good. But if you're making no progress, then there's something wrong. But you see, when we make progress, God wants progress in this thing. He wants us to progressively go forth until we become like him. Till we look like the vision. See, we're going to see him because we're looking in the glass. And we're changing into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, if we're trying to do what God wants us to do. So, Christ in you, the power of God is in you, the power to operate the gifts of the Spirit is in you. John 7:38 said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. When the Holy Ghost was given, the rivers poured. And me. God's no respect for a person. He just wants us to be what he wants us to be. He might want you to be different than me, spiritually. But it's all the same Spirit, and it's all a likeness of him. So here we are, the power and the faith. The faith will come forward in you, building up, and it will build up others in Christ. Your faith will build up others in Christ. You're a builder. God saved you and gave you a spiritual experience with God so you can be a builder. Not a wrecker, a builder. And he put us all together so we could all build together. Just like this fellow over here, that Ed Blueberry, he's a builder. And every one of them Catholics that got saved, they had to see Christ in him, the hope of glory. After a while, one of them said, I believe you're all right. I think I'm going to try it. I think it was his next older sister. And she got saved, and she got filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, somebody said, now, we're two shall agree. Guess what? Where two shall agree, it shall accomplish. So he had somebody on his side that would agree with him. You know, you need a prayer warrior that'll agree with you and pray for things. Somebody said, well, I don't believe this, and I don't believe that, and I don't think it ought to be this way, and it ought to be that. Well, just pray about it. If you're where you need to be with God, God will answer your prayer. How many knows that? God will not turn you away. He said he hears our prayer. He will hear what we've got to say. And whoever that's wrong, he'll begin to change them. If we'll just all pray, if we'll all just look in the glass and all look at the glory of the Lord, and we'll all change into the same. Don't worry about what somebody else is doing. Don't worry about what the leadership's doing. You're not the leader. Worry about what we're doing. I've got a lot of things to worry with. If I want to, I've kind of learned to put them on the burner, and God will solve them if I'll just pray. I used to try to solve things when I was younger, you know, and I always made a mess of it. But when I begin to have God help me solve it, God never makes a mess of it. It may not be the way that I seen it ought to be done, but it's the way he wanted it done. So if we do what God tells us to do, that's all's required of us. He'll give you direction, because he's Christ in you, the hope of glory. I want every one of you that's saved, I want to start right over here, every one of you. all the way through back there, every one of you that's saved, you've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. And he can tell you what to do. He'll direct you. He will empower you. He will bless you. That's the only way you can be blessed, is listen to him. The Bible said, let every man be a liar, but let God be true. God is the truth. Jesus is the truth. He said, John 14:6, he said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. So it's Christ in you, the power in you, the gifts of the, in you, the rivers that's in you, the faith that's in you. It will come forth. And when it comes forth, it'll do its job. And it'll be right. It'll not be a mistake. God's never mistaken. He's seated at the right hand of God. The right hand means the power. He's seated on the power side of God. Somebody said, why is he still seated? The only one time I find where he moved from that throne, when Stephen was being stoned to death, Acts
chapter 7 and verse 56,
and he was dying, and Stephen was saying, I see Jesus, this man that was being stoned. How many believe that was right to stone him? They beat him to death. Paul standing there say, hit him another lick. This man that was going to be the great preacher, Paul, sanctioning his death. But Stephen, he turned it over to God, and he didn't feel no hurt. And he said, I see Jesus. This time, Jesus had moved, standing at the right hand of God. It's the only place I find after his death, burial, resurrection, and sitting down, being seated at the throne of God. The only place I see where he stood instead of sat. When we're seated in judgment. When we stand, we're standing to help. You know, Jesus stood to help his pain. Jesus will stand for you to help you with your pain. He will stand with me. He will give me grace. When I think I can't do something, he'll, some of the craziest things to me, you know, I feel like I can't preach. I don't feel like I'm going to have the anointing. I just don't feel, I feel draggy. I just don't feel it. That's the very time that he'll come on the scene and just anoint me more than ever. Every time you get to where you feel like you can't do something, you just talk it over with God. He'll put a brand new spur in your step. He'll put a brand new blessing in your heart. He's Christ in you, the hope of glory. He's there for your protection. He's there for your help. He's there to guide you to heaven. How many know Jesus said that he that sent me is always with me, for I do always the thing that pleases him. You know, God will always be with us if we do the thing that pleases him. But sometimes he'll depart from us if we're not pleasing him for a season to let us know how it feels without him. While every head's bowed, bring your music and have a song. God is with us.